Ita betargum Yonatan, Reshea de Esav, Pego Atifa de Yitzchak, Kedita Bazar Kadosh, Dehachi Itchaze le Barnash, Leminda Tov, Uleminda Ra, Ulehadra Gamer, Letov, Vedahi Uraza de Mimnuta. Right? So the head of Esav, right, was in here. Let's open up the pasuk. So it says, it's on Vayechi Nun Yud Gimel. Okay. Nun Yud Gimel says the pasuk. I'm going to read the Targum Yonatan. It says, "Ve'esav banav ve'yasu banav lo kein kasher tivam," and his children do to them like he asked.
That's
pasuk Yud Bet. "Ve'yasu oto banav." ויישאו אותו בניו ארצה כנען, ויקברו אותו במערת שדה המכפלה אשר קנה אברהם את שדה לאחוזת קבר, מת עפרון החיתי על פני ממרא. So this is when they're burying Yaakov. Right? And then the famous midrash that Targum Yonatan brings is that Esav's head, that he killed Esav and they buried Esav with Yitzchak. When they went to bury Yitzchak, right? When they went to bury Yaakov, Yitzchak, Esav's head rolled into Yitzchak's portion in the Menat HaMachpelah, right? Esav was standing there, wouldn't let them do it. Naphtali went to get the papers. Chushim ben Dan's like, why are we standing around? And he chopped off Esav's head, and Esav's head rolled into Yitzchak. And that's what Chazal say, Kitzayid b'fiv, right? Esav was Torah Shebal Peh. That's why Esav's head gets buried in Menat HaMachpelah, right? Because he's a Torah Shebal Peh. And the Targum Yonatan says, the Reisha de Esav, they go atifa de Yitzchak. The head of Esav rolled in with Yitzchak. V'hau kedita b'zor, and that's what the Zohar says. And this is how a person knows the difference between good and bad. And choose good. Right? Choose good. Right? So if Esav was totally bad, then he wouldn't be in Merat HaMachpelah at all. If he was good, so his body would be in Merat HaMachpelah. So now you see that people have a good side and a bad side, and you should choose good.
What? Do we know what happens to
Esav's
body?
Probably buried it outside. So. So the targum.
Why his head and not?
Chazal, according to Chazal, because Yaakov kitzayid b'fiv, right? Yitzchak likes Esav kitzayid b'fiv because he has a Torah Shebal Peh, right? And Torah Shebal Peh comes from Esav's offspring, right? Yosef is ben Gerim, Rabbi Meir is Ger, right? All Shmaya and Naphtali are Gerim. All the people that brought forth Torah Shebal Peh were converts from Esav. So Esav had Torah Shebal Peh, Yaakov had Torah Shebichtav, and Esav's head gets buried in Maas HaMachpelah. And this is what the Targum is telling us. And the Me'ash Yilach says that's what the Pasuk means. Dehachi deitchazu lebarnash. And this is so people can understand the difference between good and bad, and choose the good. V'hau derazah demimnuta. This is the secret of faith. And this is the secret of faith. What's the secret of faith? That people know to choose the difference between good and bad. Right? And how do people know the difference between good and bad? Because Esav's head was in Merat HaMachpelah. And if you remember, we learned about Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav, not by chance. Yitzchak loved Esav because Esav was putting himself in tzfegos. Esav was master at the tevin. Esav was really putting himself in a world where he has to choose, where he has to constantly search for excitement. The only difference is that he wasn't really motivated to find the good. He was just motivated to find excitement. And he was just living in the world of excitement. And that's it. And Yitzchak is telling us, the Torah is telling us that Esav had the right intention, but that wasn't it. And if a person follows through with that intention, then his whole body gets buried in Merat HaMachpelah. Right? So the Raza de Mimnuta, the secret of faith, is the ability to choose between good and evil. And the ability to choose between good and evil is that Esav's head joins Yitzchak. Right? Because Yitzchak was able to see the good in Esav and try to promote it. But if Esav was able to actually work on growth, right? And the problem with Esav is Chazal say, why is he called Esav? Because he's asui. He's already fully made. He was born, you know, with all his features. Then you're good. Then you're good. Then you don't need to grow. But it's actually the feeling of lack, the feeling of growth that is good. That's why Esav's head is buried with Yitzchak. And this is for a person to learn this is good and evil, and choose the good. Choose the good. Because really, at the end of the day, good and evil is not obvious. Not obvious. Society might tell you that this is good and this is bad, right? Really, at the end of the day, your experience with good and evil is what's going to help you. When you come in contact with good and you realize that it's good for you, then you keep doing it. And if you come in contact with bad and you realize it's bad for you, then you stop doing it, right? And Esav, he came in contact with bad, but he wasn't ready to stop. He wasn't ready to stop and change a different course because this was where excitement was. This was where life was. This is where he felt alive. right? And so many people are willing to damage themselves and put stuff in their body, whether it's food that's not good, or drugs that aren't good, or beverages that aren't good, because it makes them feel alive. And that's it. And if you don't, if you follow down that path, then you're lucky if your head is buried.
When do we know that sphagos have become too much? We can learn from Esau that you're supposed to put yourself in sphagos, but he put himself too far in sphagos.
What's the criteria of an insane person? A person who does the same action over and over again, expecting different results, right? Okay. Very simple. So you put yourself in sphagos and it doesn't work, then don't do it anymore, right?
It doesn't work meaning what, though?
Why'd you put yourself in sphagos? What was the point of putting yourself in sphagos? Trying to find a connection to God.
I mean, right? There's an argument to be had about putting yourself in a secular college environment,
right?
Which would be a big sphagos,
right?
Which would 100%. Be a big time sphagos.
100%. And if you go to a college where there's no room to succeed, or I would say a college that doesn't have a JLIC campus, then for sure, then you put yourself in bad sphagos. But I think in a JLIC campus, there's if you don't succeed, then you're the only person to blame. And JLIC will create all the environment you need in order for you to succeed. Every single person here in Maryland has every single reason to succeed. And if he fails, it's really because he didn't try enough.
It's like you've got your house, right? And you've got a...
Right. So this fake us.
But there is a point where people here even are doing the right thing, but every once in a while they have your read. They do fail.
Failing is not a bad thing. Rav Cook tells us that averas are only failures that you haven't learned from, right? If you're learning from it, then it's not an avera, right? We learn through trial and error, right? We learn through trial and error. So if you've made a mistake and you're learning from it, then it's not a mistake, right? It's only a mistake if you're not learning from it. Sphagos, putting yourself in sphagos, is allowing yourself to journey on that tension between good and bad, to play on that line between good and evil, right? And at the end of the day, if you cross that line, you got to learn. So you got to either learn how to be strong, right, with even outside the environment, or say, you know, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for that, right? So at the end of the day, I'm not ready for it. So there, it's
what determines that, what determines if it's a failure, so to speak.
Good. So that's something that a person has to figure out. Is it promoting? Am I growing or not?
No, I feel like it's a relative. It's a subjective thing.
100%.
Because are you telling me? Yeah.
100%. Your vote is same as only yours.
From your perspective,
who cares about other people's perspective? You don't live in other people's perspective.
What about
you live
only perspective?
Because Baruch Hu cares what you think. Baruch Hu cares what you think, right? Because what you think is how you're going to move forward, right? So at the end of the day, you know, Pinchas does something wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that from Pinchas' point of view, he had to do it, right? Even if he's wrong,
finished.
Right? Pinchas?
Didn't he?
He becomes Kohen Le'el Elyon.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Right?
So
at the end of the day, God cares what you think, right? Okay. And if this is going to promote you, right? So again, and like we said, missing a basketball is great because you can figure out how to adjust your shot. If you're missing on purpose, you're never going to learn from that how to be a better shooter. But even if you shoot and you miss, then you miss, right? And Stephen Curry loses the three-point contest, does that make him any less good? No, stay there. Who cares? You know, the guy literally, he shot 100 of 100, right, in practice. And now he missed in a contest a ball out of a nine. Oops, the michpat, you know, the michpat. At the end of the day, sphagos is where you're trying to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And if you're able to push yourself out of your comfort zone, then you're great, right? Now, at the end of the day, if you can't push yourself out of your comfort zone into no man's land, if you don't know how to succeed there, right? So if you don't know how to swim, then jumping in the water is not sphagos, it's suicide, right? But if you know how to swim, 100 yards, and you jump into a pool that the other side is 101 yards, and now there's a suffix if you can get to the other side or not, 1 yard, can you push yourself 1 yard? Great, that's growth. But if you can't, if you know for a fact you can't, that's suicide, right? So a person puts himself in a situation that is 100% failure, that's not suffix. That's stupidity. So,
suffix isn't necessarily putting yourself in a position where there's questions. It's putting yourself in a position where you have the opportunity to grow.
Right, and also the opportunity to fail.
Right? Yeah. I guess when you put it in because people associate with suffix as I'm not sure, uncertainty, right. Which technically is what it is, but based on what we're learning here, it seems more
uncertainty is one translation.
Right, I think.
Right?
I think
and that's why in Hebrew, safek, the uncertainty is also the word for sipuk, which is what? Which is content. Because if I'm successful, I'll feel content. But if I'm not, then I don't.
So right? I think we should be defining it differently rather than uncertainty.
We're always trying to define it. The whole book, this whole book of Me'ashi Loch is trying to define what Sphakos is.
It seems like what it's saying is opportunity for growth.
It's always opportunity for growth, but you can't grow if you're not putting yourself out of your comfort zone. If you're only going to take the shot that you know you can hit, then you're not growing. Then everybody knows to not cover you anywhere else and just cover you there, and you're not going to grow. If you're able to take shots from other places, right? Nobody cares if you miss or not, as long as you're following your shot. As long as you're getting back on D, and as long as you're taking the open shot and not, you know, when 10 people are on you trying to shoot it, right? Mm-hmm. So who cares if you miss? We don't care if you miss. We care that you did all the due diligence to make sure that you can hit the basket. And you know what's important? To do it again, right? And this time to adjust, and this time to learn, and this time to advance. But if you're not putting yourself out of your comfort zone, then fine. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're only going to go to Minyan and going to do the same exact routine, then you're not growing. Right? And sometimes it's good to...
How do you change that to make it...
Right? Huh? Change up things. Right? Rav Kook says tshuva. Rav Kook says that tshuva...
Because being contented isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like going to Minyan every day.
Nobody says. No, of course. Not going to Minyan is not. But Rabbi Nachman says that. Once in a while, daven in a room by yourself so you can see how fake you are in shul. Right? And it takes you 5 minutes by yourself. And shul often takes you half an hour. Wow, you think you're so great, you daven for half an hour. You daven for 5 minutes, you just spread it out in a half an hour. Right? So that's a wake-up call. But the idea is that Rav Kook says tshuva is changing it up. Changing it up. So if you went to this minyan, so try going to this minyan. You're going to this minyan, try doing this. Try changing it up. You sat here, try and do that. Right? So every now and about, when I feel like my tefillah is really shvach, I lead. I try to go to be the chazan. Right? Why? Because I know that when I'm chazan, I it's a different tefillah. Right? So just for the sake of changing it up, just for the sake of pushing myself out of my comfort zone.
Why does that make your tefillah better?
It doesn't make it better. It just changes. Right? Not necessarily going to make my tefillah better, but here I was able to say every word in the Shemoneh Esrei without... saying Asher Yatzer in the middle, so when I was chazan. So here, now I can do it, right? So I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone a little bit just for the sake of not letting things become routine, right? So I change up my seat, I change up my this, I try to do this, I try to do that. Let me sing this tune, right? So a lot of times in davening, in order to change things up, I sing a tune, right? I pick like three tunes and I insert them at different places, or I meditate and wait for a tune to come to me to daven this piece, and I'm changing it up. Right? So now, is that always the best thing? Right? My job is to constantly try to innovate, because once I'm staying in the same place, the Yetzer Hara knows exactly how to cover me, and that's it. Right? So my job, and again, there's this Sphakos. Esau puts himself in Sphakos, and we've been spending almost all of Vayetze, Toldos and Vayetze and Vayishlach, speaking about Esav and his and the wrong Sphakos versus Yitzchak, who put himself in good Sphakos, right? And the question is, what are the Sphakos, right? And then what we saw before was that Yaakov is put his bonus Sukkot. What really matters to him is what he built for himself, and not what was nature, what was nurture, but rather the fact that I'm able to push myself out of my comfort zone and try new things and not do things that my family did, right? So my whole family davened this, my whole family does this, and my whole family does that, and I'm going to try something new, right? So I'm not going to detract, because detracting is breaking a wall in the house, but what can I add? What can I add to my own thing, right? And that's part of the avodah of a person who's trying to connect to God, is to push himself out of his comfort zone.